Okay, if you have your Bible there, please do turn back to Philippians chapter 3. I was reading a book recently, just last week in fact, and it was a short book, so it only took about an hour to finish off, which was great. And it was a book and it was all about discipling men. All about discipling men. It very much got on my heart that we need to start discipling men. It's been in my heart for quite a wee while. And I think we all know the challenges of encouraging men in the church and discipling men in the church. Because in many ways there has been a feminization of the church, whether you agree with that or not, okay? You will find that generally within the church, the split in the church is 70% women, 30% men, generally speaking. And in some places, that is a high percent. If you look at the percentage tonight, we're, you know, poor David and Paul and myself, we're losing, okay? We're probably down on that percentage. But we also all know the stats of when men come to faith in the Lord, then their families tend to follow too. That's the whole premise of Christian Vision for Men. If you've seen any of their statistics, they will say about, you know, when men come, it tends to be then their wives will come, then their children will come. And you'll find that whole families end up being saved. Now, the premise of the book that I was reading about discipling men was, who is your man? That was the premise. Now, what did it mean by that? Who is your man? And basically, it was asking the question as to, if you're a man within the church, who are you looking out for within the church family? Who are you looking out for to mentor? Who are you looking out for to disciple? Is there anyone on the periphery of the church that you're looking out for, or anyone new to the faith that you're looking out for? But actually, as well as it just being for men, it's actually a good principle for us all to think about and a good question to ask ourselves. To ask yourself, who is my person, if you want to put it in those terms? Who am I taking under my wing and showing an example to and discipling and spending time with? Who am I intentionally discipling? Now, for some of us, we might be thinking, hold on a second. I am not a great example. And is it not a bit big-headed of me to think I could possibly be an example to other people? After all, I am not perfect. And that's true. I look out to you tonight and you're not perfect. But you can also look at me and see I'm not perfect either. We're all imperfect, aren't we? But what I want to encourage you with is, neither is Paul perfect. Paul wasn't perfect either. He says in verse 12 that we looked at a wee bit last week that he hasn't obtained all this yet. He hasn't come to the end goal of his faith yet. He's still got growing to do in his life. And some of you who've been here tonight and you've been a Christian an awfully long time, there is always more to grow in, always more to learn about. You know, you think of the fruit of the Spirit, and I don't know about you, but you know, you start with the fruit of the Spirit and you know, I can do, you know, the love bit, and you know, we can do gentleness and we can do faithfulness, and I've forgotten it. You know, I need to go back to the beginning. You know, I've been working on that part of my life, and you know, you're constantly working, you know, in terms of how can I grow in grace? How can I grow in my knowledge of Christ? Paul hasn't arrived yet. He hasn't arrived at the goal. And so he presses on. That's what we looked at last week. But what I also want you to notice from our passage tonight is he is unafraid to point to himself as an example. He's unafraid to point to himself as an example, because despite Paul's flaws, and Paul had flaws, and despite our flaws, Paul is still unafraid to point to himself as an example. Why? Because he is a mature Christian, after all. He's a mature Christian. But also note here that Paul doesn't just point towards himself, but he also points the Philippians to others. others who are models for them too. What does it say? It says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, so that would be Paul, Epaphroditus, Timothy, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So we've got lots of models, lots of different examples. And actually, there's nothing unusual about pointing to ourselves as an example, if you think about it. After all, how do you learn to do anything? You actually learn by watching someone and then trying to do it for yourself, don't you? That's how you learn, isn't it? Now, sometimes it's a disaster. You know, Anna's showed me a number of times, this is how you cook, this is what you do, and blah, blah, blah. And something amazing happens. Ah, brilliant. An edible meal. When I try to do it, burnt, not edible meal, okay? That can sometimes happen, can't it? We usually learn by watching someone and then trying it for yourself, don't you? How does a toddler learn to speak? By imitation. How does a toddler learn to walk? It's by imitation. How do we learn any new skill? Often it's by imitation, isn't it? And it's the same in the Christian life. We have models. We have examples. And as we've already been doing tonight, as you think back over your Christian life, you can think of people who have been particularly influential. People who have been more mature Christians than us, who have modeled for us the Christian. This is what the Christian life looks like. This is how you are to live out your life. And you're not quite there yet, but I'm going to model it for you. I'm going to show you how to pray. I'm going to show you how to love other people. I'm going to show you how to witness, how to share the gospel with other people. They model for us what the Christian life looks like. Now, it's important, isn't it, to have more than one model. That's a really important principle, isn't it? Because a single person cannot fully display all the facets of following Christ. And they might have personal weaknesses. Or they might be someone who's a bit eccentric at the end of the day. We're all a bit like that, aren't we? It's really important that we have, different models. We often see, don't we, and this often happens in America, it happens in this country as well, doesn't it? Where you've got perhaps a mega church, perhaps it might be, or, some kind of ministry. And it's very much a single person led. And then that person falls into, something happens, they have an affair. Or, the financial irregularity or whatever it might be. And they fall away. And what happens? Quite often people's faith is destroyed. Why is it destroyed? Because they look to one person and one person only. Now that person might have been pushing them towards Christ, and that's great. But when we put people on a pedestal, that can be a bit of a problem for us. It's really important that we have different models around us and different examples. The fact is that we all need Christian role models, don't we? We all need Christian role models. No matter what age or stage we're at in our Christian life, we all need people. I have people that I am accountable to. I have people that I still meet up with. And they ask me about my Christian life and my Christian walk. Now, why? Why is that important? Why is it important that we have Christian role models? Well, in this passage, there is a real contrast, isn't there? You cannot read this passage and not see the contrast that is made here. Because there is an explicit contrast between us, i.e. Christians whose citizenship is in heaven, and the enemies of the cross of Christ, i.e. those whose minds are set on earthly things. That's the contrast that's made. You see, for the Philippians, there is the constant presence of those who are modeling a lifestyle opposed to the gospel. There are those people in the background. And of course, that's equally true in our own time, isn't it? And an hour or so on a Sunday is not going to compete with the secularism that we are bombarded with for the other 167 hours. Okay, we've got to sleep at some point. I understand that. Okay? The other, there's 168 hours in a week. So 167 hours that we're not at church, effectively. Okay? If we're just talking about a service. And therefore, it's really important, isn't it? That we meet together as Christians and we keep meeting together as Christians. We cannot do this on our own. We will become cold in our faith. Other people will begin to influence us in a different direction. That's why it's really important that we pray for our children. Why is that really important? Because they are bombarded constantly with secularism, different ideas. You know, thinking this way's right, that way's right, whatever way. And we only have, how long do we have on a Sunday to influence them? 20 minutes? Maybe? 25? Is that it? If they're not getting anything in the home at all from a Christian perspective, that's all they're getting. 25 minutes in the midst of a week where there's 168 hours. That's quite something to reflect on, isn't it? It's really important, isn't it? That our focus is upon heavenly things and that we encourage one another in it. That's why small groups, life groups that we're trying to encourage in the church are so important. That as Christians we can disciple each other and encourage one another and not drift. Because it's so easy to drift, isn't it? It's so easy to drift into a secular mindset. And that can be a problem, not just for us as individual Christians, but as the church. That's why the Church of Scotland faces so many problems, really. You see, Paul says that as Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. And actually, we have to take that seriously, don't we? How many times do you wake up and you think, this is wonderful, my citizenship is in heaven? Well, we should wake up and say that every single morning. That would change our perspective completely. You know, my citizenship is in heaven. You know, quite often, you know, we have difficult times in our life, don't we? We have times that are stressful, we have work problems, we've got other things going on in our life. But when we wake up in the morning and realize, I am Christ and my citizenship is in heaven, it changes our perspective completely. There's a famous quote by someone called Oliver Wendell Holmes Sr. Have you heard of him?
Yes.
You have? Oh, goodness, I've never heard of him. Okay, do you know who he was?
No.
Okay. But his quote, the famous quote you'll know, is someone can be so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. And I'm sure you've heard that quote before. But actually, that quote's completely wrong. Because actually, it's by being heavenly minded that we are earthly good. What is it that C.S. Lewis said? I've heard of C.S. Lewis. Hopefully you have too. He says this: if you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. That's really interesting, isn't it, what C.S. Lewis says. And John Piper, so some of you heard of John Piper as well, says this: I suspect that for every professing believer who's useless in this world because of otherworldliness, there are 100 who are useless because of this worldliness. That's a really interesting quote, isn't it? Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who came to earth, but he now has ascended to heaven. And that's where we belong, isn't it? We don't belong here on earth. I've said to you before, one of the books I had to read at university was called Resident Aliens. It reminded me of Little Green Men. But the whole point of that is, you know, we're aliens. We are foreigners here on the earth. We don't actually belong here. And I'm sure we've all had that experience when we've been in a situation and we know certain things are going on and we just know in our own hearts, you know, that's just not right. And I don't feel comfortable here. And, you know, what's this all about? Our citizenship is in heaven. And I simply ask you tonight, is it your longing truly in your heart to be with God? Is that truly your longing in your heart? Do you really realize that your citizenship is in heaven? Or are you kind of being pulled, I'm quite happy on earth, actually. Quite happy on earth. You see, people are really proud of where they're from, aren't they? Generally speaking. I'm from Scotland. I'm from England. I'm from Belfast. I'm from Yorkshire. I'm from Yorkshire. There you go. I'm from West Kilbride. I'm from Sea Mill, Donna. Eh? But how great it is to be a citizen of heaven. And that is our destiny. That's where we belong when we're in Christ. And where we will be forever and ever. And if this truly is the case, because sometimes we will look at a passage like this and we'll see Paul saying, our citizenship is in heaven, and we just let that kind of pass over us. We think, oh, that's quite nice. You know, we'll float in a cloud for lots and lots of years and play a harp. You know, is that really what it's about? Our citizenship is in heaven. We belong there. We belong with God. If that truly is the case, and you really believe it in your heart, that controls everything that we do and actually everything that we are as a person. It's an encouragement, isn't it? And so I want you just to think tonight, if you're a citizen of heaven, what are we to do here on earth? What is our role here on earth? Well, the first thing I want just to think about, especially from this passage this evening, is first of all, we are to be thankful for the models that we have. We are to be thankful for the models that we have. And we are to seek models, actually. I think that's a really important principle. That, you know, we're not just to think, you know, I'm a mature Christian and I've arrived, and that's fine. You know, I've got no more to learn. We can't be that full of pride, can we? Because we've never, if Paul hasn't arrived, then we've not arrived either. Let's be fair. We need to be thankful for the models that we have. And we have to keep seeking to grow in our Christian walk with Christ. Because often it's when we don't have models, when we don't have people that we're meeting with, people that are discipling us, that we stagnate. Or we go backwards in our faith because we end up becoming too earthly minded, too focused upon earthly things. It's by meeting together with other Christians that our eyes are elevated and we're suddenly reminded, I'm a citizen of heaven. You know, I need to be reminded of that every day. I'm so glad I'm married to a Christian. That's a wonderful thing. What a great blessing that is. Someone who reminds me, you know, I can pray for you today, and when, you know, you're having a rubbish day, I'll pray for you and support you and care for you. And we all need that, don't we? That support, that care. Someone who says, I'll pray for you when it's a struggle. I'll pray for you when, you know, your work is rubbish. I'll pray for you when, you know, illness comes. We all need models. We all need people around us to help us and disciple us. Because otherwise, if we don't have those models, what happens? We slip away. We become too earthly minded, too focused on earthly things. The second thing I want you to think about is, who is our person? Who is our person? Who is the person we are praying for? Who is the person that we see in the church, or perhaps on the periphery of the church, and we think, you know, I'm gonna disciple that person. I'm intentionally going to disciple that person. Now, none of us is perfect. We know that, don't we? But some of us are further along in our faith than others. And I simply want to ask us tonight, who are we mentoring? Who are we discipling? Who are we seeking to influence in a positive way in their Christian walk with Christ? Is it the longing of our heart that those who are young in the faith would mature and grow in their faith? Sometimes we are really guilty, and we're terrible at this in the church, especially in the Church of Scotland, okay? Because in mainstream churches and denominations, I think we're really bad at this. People come in the door, usually on Sunday morning, but you know, can be at other times too. And we just expect that through the Sunday morning service, they will, you know, somehow grow in their faith, and that'll be them. They reach maturity. Now, you know, I'm all for preaching. You know, I'm all for, you know, what preaching can do to us. You know, otherwise I'd be out of a job. But at the end of the day, we need people who get alongside us, who encourage us in our faith, who pray for us and say, look, would you like to come to a small group? You know, have you ever thought about this? And we actually need people who are honest enough to say, actually, what you're doing in your life is not appropriate for a Christian. That's not how you should be living out your life to God's glory and God's praise. Not because we're Pharisees, because we want to honour Christ. And we're citizens of heaven, and therefore our life should change. Who is your person? And is it the longing of our heart that those who are young in the faith would mature and grow in their faith? That's Paul's heart. That's what we see in the book of Philippians. He really, his heart breaks for the people that he writes to. We see that often. He longs for them. He loves them as a father to his children. It's almost like that kind of relationship, isn't it? And Paul himself has modeled this, if you think about it. Because who's he got with him? Timothy. Timothy, young in the faith. Timothy, who he's been trying to encourage. You know, Timothy that we know all about because of the two letters that we find in Scripture. Paul longed for the Philippians to grow in their faith, to mature in the faith. Do you long for that in West Kilbride Parish Church? Do you long for it in the church in general? Because we need it more than ever. People are still interested in faith, but they don't know how to access it. They don't know how to come in. They might come for a few weeks and then they disappear and we think, oh, they've not come. But did we make an effort? Did we pray for them? Did we get alongside them? Did we say, look, I'll meet you for a coffee? Let's speak about our faith. Let's speak about Christian things. People are not going to grow in their faith by themselves. They need help. They need examples. And that's what Paul's saying to the Philippians. I'm an example to you. So are the people who are with me. And if people are living out their life the same way we are, they are also models and examples for you. So we're thankful for the models that we have, because we recognize in our own lives people who have helped us in our faith. But are you a model for someone else? And so I encourage you tonight, this is a practical sermon. Think through who you know in the church, or who's on the periphery of the church. Who are you going to pray for? Who are you going to get alongside? Who are you going to encourage in the faith and say, look, let's meet together. Let's pray together. Let's do a Bible study together. Let's talk about being a citizen of heaven, because we don't belong on earth. We belong in heaven. Most of us here will have moved house at one time or another. And when you move house, it's always that kind of interesting time, isn't it? Where, you know, you've got to meet your neighbours. That's just the way it is. And you can be nervous then, can't it? Because you think, well, am I going to like my neighbours or am I not? You know, what should I do? Should I go round to them? Are they going to come round to me? You know, should I take them flowers? Should I take them biscuits? What should I do? Who are they? But when you go round to your neighbours, you begin to get to know them, don't you? You start to build a relationship with them. You know, it would be very strange if you didn't get to know your neighbours, wouldn't it? And it's the same in the church. Sometimes we are guilty of just sitting in our individual seats. And we don't get to know each other. We don't disciple one another. We don't encourage one another in our Christian walk. I had a very sad situation when I was on a placement in a church. And people used to sit. It was a traditional church had pews. There was one lady I spoke to. She'd lived in this one place for 40 years. She didn't know the name of the lady who was sitting the other side of the church. That other lady had lived in that place her whole life. Didn't know each other. Didn't know each other's names. How, therefore, could they even speak about Christian things? And yet, if we are citizens of heaven, we are going to be together forever and ever. That's a shocker, isn't it? Oh, man. See, sometimes, you know, you're glad when your neighbours move away. You know, your neighbours are not going to last forever. But let me tell you, you're going to be seeing each other for an eternity. Wow! So we might as well get to know each other now. And we might as well disciple one another and help us to grow in grace. What a wonderful thing it is when you see someone who has been somewhere far away from God, and then you see them and it's almost like a flower, and they begin to flourish and blossom. And we see they look beautiful in God's sight and God honouring. How wonderful it is. Who's your person? Who are you going to pray for? Who are you going to get alongside? Who are you going to mentor? Because that is what Paul did. And that's what we are called to do as well. Shall we just pray? Let's pray together. Loving Lord God, we thank you for the way that Paul was unafraid to be an example to others. And yes, he wasn't perfect, but he was a mature Christian. He knew his scriptures. He knew what he was called to. He knew that he was putting Christ first in his life, that he considered everything else rubbish compared to following Christ. And he wanted others to follow that example. And Father, as we think back over our own lives, we thank you for those who have had a godly influence upon us, who've helped us to grow in faith, who've encouraged us in our prayer life, who've encouraged us in to mature as Christians. We thank you especially, Lord God, for those who have done the hard yards with us, who have helped us when perhaps we've been struggling, who've helped us when perhaps we've been far away from you, for those who have kept us accountable and those who have kept us on the right track. But Father, as we think about those who have helped us, we pray, Lord God, that we would be models for others. And Father, we pray that as we just spend time in quiet now, you might bring to mind someone who we should be praying for, someone that we should be getting alongside, someone that we should encourage in their faith. Lord God, we pray that you would give us boldness. Give us boldness in prayer. Give us boldness to speak for you. Give us boldness to get alongside others. And Lord God, we ask that each and every day, as we wake up in the morning, that we would know deep in our hearts that Jesus is our Saviour and that our citizenship is not here on earth, it is truly in heaven. So Lord God, speak to us through your word tonight, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.